Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, today I was trying to figure out, besides getting everything quiet, just a little discombobulator. There we go, better. You know, there was a couple of things here. First of all, we have that 1 Corinthians thing about husbands and spouses. And it's, you know, how do we put Lord first, especially when we're married? Because when you take a look at a lot of this stuff, it becomes difficult, doesn't it? Because life has a way of coming in and sticking its nose where it doesn't belong. And then we start worrying about that and forget about worshiping God and taking things. But also we have the calling of the first disciples. All right, most of the first disciples were fishermen. So can you imagine the boat with Zebedee and his two sons, James and John? All right, boys, I want you to fix these nets, because we can't go out and we can't get any more fish until we get those holes fixed, because we won't be able to bring them in. So get to work. So they're in there, you know, sewing and getting all this stuff done. Jesus walks by, follow me. And they get up and walk. Can you imagine Zebedee? That would be an interesting occurrence, wasn't it? You know, and so whenever Jesus went up to people, Peter, okay, you know, follow me. They got up and went. Some of them were married. Peter was married. How can you follow Jesus when you're married? Easy. Dear, pack everything we got. Get the kids. We're going on the road. And what she would go, what? Can't you imagine that conversation? I mean, let's face it, people are people, right? But when Jesus says, come and follow me, they follow. But yet, when we look at Corinthians, pull up your Corinthians reading with me for a minute. Okay. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none. And those who mourn as though they were not mourning. And those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing. And those who buy as though they had no goods. And those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. Okay, from now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none. All right, dear, I have to tell you this. Jesus said, come. So instead of packing up the house, I want you just to stay there. I'm going to take off. I don't know if I'll ever be back. I wonder if she had a fry pan in her hand. But you see what I mean? What is Jesus actually telling us? To follow him, right? You know, many times I've preached here on Gail Sayers in his book, I Am Third. God is first, my family second, I'm third. But yet in this situation, Jesus is telling us that you're not third. Is he? He says, follow me, God is first, he expects you to follow. But does that mean that you leave number two out? No. So there's the balance, isn't it? You know, we think about those scales of justice. Everything's got a balance, right? Okay. So when we take a look at this kind of stuff, how do you balance home life, God life? Well, hopefully you can make them work together, right? But that gets to be a little tough. You know, I look at a lot of this stuff. And I just think, all right, we have got so many things that are picking at us. Look at our prayers today. You know, I was just thinking about this. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 15 people that we're praying for today. Well, that's almost one per person in here today, isn't it? So, are those things eating at us and eating at our lives? Well, of course they are. So how do you balance those out? Well, the thing is, you can't ignore God and you can't ignore your family, can you? But yet, isn't the Bible always literal? Good question, isn't it? Mark 9. If the sin in your eye offends you, pluck it out. If the sin in your hand offends you, cut it off. Now, I'm looking out at a bunch of people that have two eyes and two hands. Oh, that means that you don't sin? No, we are sinners. But what is he saying? He's saying, you know, think about that sin and deal with it. Think about your family and deal with it. A lot of good things, isn't it? I look at a lot of this stuff that's going on in the world, and it is so easy, I think, to get caught up in worldly things that we forget that the family is more important first. So God says, follow me. God is first, right? What's second? Family. All right, so then there's the balancing act. Okay. But we are third, aren't we? I look at a lot of this stuff and say, all right, we have to find a way to deal well with everything. You know, all of us, like you were talking to me about it, and you were talking to me about your son, sometimes it's tough, you know, to work things out. I mean, I haven't talked to my son in, 12 years, 13 years. Now, and it's just those kind of thing, dynamics. So, it's one of those things, how do we do that? Well, we never quit, right? You know, no matter how bad things get, I'm looking at Marlene right here, you know, who just lost Bill, the significant other in her life. But yet, do you quit? No. Would Bill want you to quit? No. You keep on going. And I think that's the important thing. As long as we keep working at things, we're okay. You know, God didn't tell us you have to be perfect, did he? And as I preached in here and before, 51% is better than 49%, isn't it? At least keep trying. Because it's the people who keep on trying are successful. It's just like when somebody said to Edison, you know, you failed 1,500 times to find an element that would work in the light bulb. He said, I didn't fail. I found 1,500 times that things didn't work. See what I'm getting at? You don't quit. And anybody that doesn't quit will be successful. Whether it's for the family, or whether it's for God, or whether it's for our country. May this attitude of not quitting keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.